Steve Ogden joining us. Boy, you've had a lot of folks you've been talking to since the last time you and I spoke, and let's start with Chancellor McKinney coming in to speak to you about the bargain bachelor's degree.
Yeah, and that's an interesting concept. I mean, when the governor put it out in his State of the State address that he gave on, I guess it was Tuesday, everybody's kind of going, huh? But apparently Bill Gates has written an article saying that this is something that could be done, and so it became a matter of discussion before our universities, and obviously there's not a university in this state right now that's offering a degree for $10,000, but I think where they're headed in the big picture is that there's a number of universities that are growing very rapidly in this country, like Phoenix, that are basically online universities, and if you offer degrees pretty much online, you can probably get the price down to $10,000, and then the argument becomes whether a 10,000 degree online degree is really worth it.
Well, and yeah, that will bring up another question that I guess we are going to have to struggle with. But now, once again, something that we kind of addressed last week and get your comments on, you obviously were surprised by the governor mentioning that. You've already passed eminent domain, and then the question of sonograms before abortions was brought up. All this week in the Senate, all of those kind of directives from the governor's office.
Well, you know, during the first 60 days of the session, the governor has the ability to pretty much dictate what goes on in the session, because the Constitution says without a four-fifths vote, no bill can be passed before earlier than the 60th day of the session. So what the governor's done is he's fast-tracked a number of these issues by declaring them, quote, emergencies. So, yeah, that's right. He can set the agenda during the first 60 days.
Now, stronger this year than in years past, do you feel like? Because, I mean, obviously getting SB1, the budget, through is important, and we know that that's a process, and it's not going to happen overnight. But, I mean, him standing these things up in front of the budget, does that change the way things have to be done from your standpoint?
No, not at all. I mean, there's plenty of time in the first 60 days while we're working in the committee on drafting the budget to do other things, so it hasn't hindered us at all.
Steve Ogden joining us this morning. Of course, the Senate doesn't meet again until Monday afternoon. They're off on Fridays the way they're doing it now. Earlier this week, you were talking to the UT chancellor. This is the chancellor of the UT system, you're pretty critical of him because there was an audit of prison clinics that apparently they're not doing the job.
Yeah, that came at the end of the hearing. I mean, I'm not critical of the UT system as a whole. I think they're doing a pretty good job, and I like Dr. Cigarola, he's a world-famous pediatric surgeon, and he's doing a good job as chancellor. But the issue that came up was the University of Texas Medical Branch at Galveston has a contract with the prison system to provide health care for prisoners. And the state auditor has gone in and audited that contract and basically came back and said that UTMB is overcharging the state for the services that they're providing, and it's inconsistent with the contract. Well, the response from UTMB is, well, okay, we quit. And that kind of made me mad. I mean, they're a state institution. This is a critical state service that needs to be performed, and we quit is not an appropriate answer. So the comment to the chancellor was we quit is not good enough. Come up with a better response.
Monday's Steve Ogden joining us this morning. Monday's going to be kind of an interesting day because you're going to have, well, now it won't be Dr. Powers because of a health situation, but you're going to have the leaders of A&M and Texas over there before your committee and talking a little bit about what their needs are?
Well, yes, but the bigger issue is how we're doing it. Yesterday at the end of our finance hearing with Texas A&M, I announced that the finance committee, which consists of 15 members, will divide up into two seven-member subcommittees. And those seven-member subcommittees, one will be charged with coming up with a recommendation on Medicaid, and the other one would be coming up with a recommendation on public education funding. And what I told the committee is, until we decide as a committee what to do with Medicaid or public education funding and how much we're going to spend on those two items, we're really not going to do anything else other than take testimony. And so what I'm trying to do is focus the committee now on the most critical issues in our budget and tying those things down. And once we get a decision and a consensus on the committee on what to do about Medicaid and what to do about public education funding, then I'll be ready to tell people what kind of budget we can run.
Wow, that's kind of a fast-track deal. That's pretty revolutionary.
Yeah, I gave them 3 weeks. So wow. We'll see what happens. I can see this legislative process, and we're slowly but now rapidly moving from rhetoric and philosophy and opinion to hard decisions, and it's going to get pretty tense.
Yeah. Well, you don't have much time to mess around. Obviously, you've sent that that signal. Well, before we let you go, what else on your radar screen today?
Well, I was sitting out here on one of my oil and gas leases and talking to my pumper, and we're glad that everything's thawing out so we can get we can get going again.
Yeah, get back to work, right?
he told me that the pumpers union was pretty upset today. So.
Well, listen, let's talk about that then for just a second, because obviously we're seeing prices go up. We're finding out Saudi Arabia is not going to be able to produce at near the numbers that they said they were going to. Do you see maybe a change in Washington on the idea that there could be some more opportunity for domestic exploration?
Well, I think there has to be. I mean, it is a national security issue on where we get our energy, and if we basically continue to make the energy that's available in the United States off limits, two things will happen. I mean, we'll make ourselves more vulnerable to foreign blackmail. But secondly, prices will be so high that nobody will be able to afford to buy it.
Boy.
So I think the federal government has to begin to encourage the production of domestic energy, and that's a full spectrum. I mean, it is not in the best interest of this country to continue to put nuclear power on the back burner. Nuclear power, the benefits of nuclear power clearly outweigh the disadvantages, and so when you're talking about nuclear power, or you're talking about coal or oil or natural gas, we have to figure out a way to use America's resources safely and environmentally in an environmentally friendly way. We don't have a choice.
Yeah, amen. That's for sure. Steve Ogden joining us, talking a little politics, talking a little energy stuff. Talk to you next week. All right.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks for the time.